This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Christopher Scott and I'm here with Natalie Estrabeau from Vignoble Francigny. How are you, Natalie?
I'm very well, thank you. Hi. Nice to be here with you today.
Yes. I'm in Twickenham, but you're in the Oude, which is down in the south of France. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We are based near Carcassonne in the south of France. We are very lucky near the Pyrenees in a very sunny place.
Excellent. And you're the head winemaker at the Vignoble Francigny, yes.
Yes, I am the head winemaker there. I am a winemaker from Bordeaux, but I moved in the south of France like 25 years ago now. I've been also traveling a lot. And Francalieu is where I am heading the winemaking now.
So you're down in the Oude. The key sub-regions I think of down there are things like Corbière, Fitou, Minervois, Limoux, all those sort of things. But do you want to just give us a broad overview of what the regions are about?
So, yeah, the region is like, so it's the biggest region for growing grapes and making wine in France and probably in the world still. So the region makes today about 15 million hectolitres of wine. It's in between the Pyrenees, the Mediterranean Sea, and the border with the Rhone Valley in the south of France. Yeah, Mediterranean climate mainly, but not only. So for example, for us, we've got terroir between the Corbière, which is like on the hills of the Pyrenees, up to the Mediterranean Sea, through the Minervois, Saint-Chinian, which are a bit like inland compared to the terroir near the sea, and a bit in altitude as well, up to like 200 meters of altitude. Mm. So it goes across like many, many terroirs.
Yeah, that Minervois, that's climbing into the central massive, isn't it?
That's right. So yes, we are right between mountains, the Pyrenees, Massif Central, and on the other side, on the east side, it's the Mediterranean Sea.
You've got hit by a couple of different winds usually, aren't you, down there?
Yes. Yeah, it's very windy. It's like the line, if you cross a line between Toulouse and the Mediterranean Sea, where Narbonne city is, it's really very windy. Yes, down there.
Just so I know, I think the wind that comes down from Bordeaux is called the Tramontane. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. The Tramontane is more coming from the mountain. That's where the name comes from, yes.
Oh, okay, because I always thought it was the gap between the Central Massive and the Pyrenees, and a wind came down through that gap from Bordeaux. Is it not coming in from the Atlantic? Because I always think of it as Atlantic cooling wind.
No. It's a bit too far away. It's not coming right from the Atlantic. No.
But it is a cooling wind.
Yes, it is. It is. Yep.
And do you get hit by the Mistral as well?
No, we don't get the Mistral. The Mistral is more at the north of the Languedoc.
Yeah, so more southern Rhone and northern Languedoc.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's a wind that comes down through the, what is it? You've got the Central Massive on one side and then you've got the Alp. Cool. And is all your winemaking in that sort of bottom corner of Languedoc near Corbière and Minervois?
That's right, but it's quite a wide place, maybe 150 miles to go across the different terroirs.
Yeah.
So it's quite wide, yeah.
Okay. You guys are what they call a co-op, but I was reading on your website that you talk about 50 years of family ownership, so I'm a little bit confused about what you are. My understanding is co-ops are owned by the individual people.
That's right. That's why we talk about families.
Oh, okay. So do you want to explain what a co-op is and how it works?
So a co-op like is a group of growers who like come across and work together to like form some wineries. So each of them have got their own like vineyard where they grow their grapes, but they put in common some like some funds and they create wineries, or they created wineries. Mainly the co-ops were created in the 60s. So they created these wineries. So they take their grapes in the same place and they share then the equipment and the people as well to be able to make these wines and then sell the wines through different channels.
Do the wineries sell the wines or do you guys sell the wines or both?
We sell the wine. In fact, so we are owned by different like wineries, these co-ops. So we are a group of cooperatives from Callieu, mainly three cooperatives today, four. So all of these wineries are owned by the growers at the end. So it's about 800 growers today, so 800 families who are behind us. So we make the wine for them and we sell the wine for them as well.
Okay. And you said there's four co-ops. Is there four? What, you've got four wineries effectively owned?
Exactly. A bit more than that. But just to name the biggest ones, it's four wineries, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Is each winery owned by a different group of members or are they all lumped together into one?
That's right. Each winery is owned by a different group of members. And they have their own team with like their own winemaker as well. We are on site and we can like follow the winemaking and also control the wine through the aging and through the storage during the year.
Fonkayou, are they like an overseeing organization of the four different wineries?
Sorry?
So Fonkayou, you said, is the co-op, but you've said that it's made up of four different co-ops. So I'm just trying to understand the structure of it.
We are owned by the different co-ops. So these are, if you want, these are shareholders are the different co-ops, and we make the wines and we sell the wines together. Like we, how can I explain that? We are the
umbrella organization.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Okay, so Fonkayou is like it's not like a holding company, but it owns the different co-ops. Or no, it's actually the other way around, isn't it? The shareholders,
the
wineries own the co-ops, and then the co-ops own Fonkayou.
Exactly.
Okay. So normally, when you think in France, people talk about domains and chateaux and co-ops and négociants. And historically, you always think that chateau, because they grow their own grapes, they make their own wines, they've got the most control over the process. And négociant buys in grapes and then makes the wine typically is your classic model, and therefore they can buy grapes they think is of appropriate quality. But in a co-op, how do you control the quality of the grapes? Because I've historically always thought of co-ops as being you have to take it anyway because the owner tells you to take it.
Yes, we have to take all of the grapes. We have no other choice on that. But we've got today co-ops like our, and thanks to Fonkayou and to our organization, we can have some control over what they plant first. So every year we give a list of varieties we think they should be planting. Then they can choose between these varieties. But also we've got viticulturists in every winery. At the point of the research and make a lot of like work with the growers, so they help them really going into the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Often the problem, or what people often say about co-ops, is that the growers are incentivized by yield. You know, the idea is to produce as many grapes to get as much money. You've got to buy the grapes irrespective of the quality. Some regions restricting yield is important, some regions it's less important. But if you believe that concept of yield relates to quality, it's harder for a co-op to manage that. Do you do anything in terms of your pricing structure, in terms of what you pay the guys or anything?
For that, we've got like different quality levels and different strategy as well. With our viticulturist, we've got like selected terroir, where our viticulturists decide on what is going to be done on these vineyards. For example, reduce the yield, control the disease as well. Thanks to that, we can control some of the yield and the quality of the grapes as well. And we've got some programs that are specific that are going to be bottled at the end. So we have like control over the quality. And one thing to know is that in the south of France, it's not always easy to make big yield. A lot of terroirs like the Corbière, the Minervois, you cannot produce big yield. I think in average, we produce 60 hectoliters per hectare. So when you go into the plain near Narbonne and you've got enough water, you can try and have bigger yield, but in average, it's not the case. You cannot like produce huge yield as well.
Not like the old days when they were banging up.
No.
What was the grape variety that you... Is it Carignan that is...
Carignan.
Yeah, that can produce huge yields, like 150 hectolitres per hectare and crazy numbers like that. So you don't see so much of that where you are?
No. I'm not saying we don't have any grape variety with higher yields, but it's not the most common in the south of France today, no. And with grape variety like Cabernet Sauvignon... Grenache is not so huge, the yield. So yeah, the average is not big. One other thing also to mention is that like 70% of the wines in the south of France are made from co-ops.
Yes.
So not only us, of course, but 70% of the production is controlled by the co-ops.
I was reading on your website before the interview that most of your producers seem to be into sustainable viticulture. A small percentage are into organics. I think it was, you've got 4,800 hectares of vineyards, which is quite a lot. That's quite a lot. But about 165, I think, was the last note I saw was organic. The rest of it's sustainable viticulture. And in France, most people seem to be going to organics. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not the world's biggest advocate of organics. I quite like sustainable viticulture as a practice. I prefer it to organics. In some climates, organics is just crazy. But tell me a little bit about why sustainable viticulture is more dominant than organics and why you're still moving to organics, etc.
So our base program is going HVE. HVE is a base for sustainable viticulture in France. It stands for Haute Valeur Environnementale. So it's a French program where all the growers must put in place biodiversity in the vineyard and must have like a great level of control of all the spray they have in the vineyard. So it's now the base level, and we are going forward like 100% of our growers going into this HVE certification within 2 years now. We've progressed quickly on that. Another of our program is organic. We've got a bit more now going into organic. We are next year, we will be having 350 hectares being organic. So it's almost 10% of our production, or it will be 10% soon of our production. If organic is really big in France and is getting bigger in the northern European market. But we cannot ask all of our growers to go organic. It's simply a bit too complicated for them to go there. And you need to have like more people working in your property and more control over all of the vineyard. It seems to be a little bit more complex for the time being, but this is going to change pretty soon, I think.
Do you price your grapes depending on whether they're organic or sustainable? Like you're saying that you've got some control over the pricing mechanism.
Yes, but the market dictates the price, it's the first thing. But then, yes, we have some control. For example, we've been helping like growers to go organic, and we've put in place also some help for them to go HVE as well. It's like an incentive as well, just to try and be quicker than our competitors.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. Fair enough. Okay, before we wrap this up, I just wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about irrigation, because I noticed on your website you talk about drip irrigation in some sites, and I thought irrigation in general was banned, particularly in the south of France and in France in general. You're allowed to irrigate for frost protection and things like that, but not for production. So can you just comment?
We don't have enough water in the south of France. We have to irrigate. So all of our vineyards are not like irrigated yet, because it does cost a bit of money and you don't have access to water everywhere. But in the south of France, the spring and the summer are too dry. You have to irrigate to be able to get like enough grapes.
Was it ever banned in France? Because I remember learning that irrigation was banned in Europe during the wine lakes of...
It was, and I think it's still banned in Bordeaux in some places, but in the south we are allowed to irrigate. There's like a limit in the timing is set by the regulation, but you are able to irrigate. Otherwise, we would have to stop like making grapes in the south of France.
Yeah, or use grapes that are quite drought tolerant and like yes. Grenache perhaps, which... Yes. Yep. Is possibly going to survive better than maybe a Cabernet Franc, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay, and is there something about the organisation you want to talk about, Natalie, that I've not talked about?
No, there's like a big advantage of having a co-op is like the diversity of terroir we have access to. For winemakers, it's a great playground because really you've got the choice. First, you've got some control over the vineyards and you've got some control over the wineries with like our team of winemakers. And so we can select from 4,800 hectares what we think is going to be right to make some of our best cuvée. The choice is enormous and the different terroirs as well and the different grape varieties. So it's a really big advantage to be able to choose from so much today.
Excellent. All right then, Natalie, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.